Okay, we're going to move around with the homily here today, and the main intent is we want to hear from the kids out there. We want to see how much you know. And I know there may be a few adults whispering answers in the children's ears, and that's okay as well. But I'd like to have a little bit of fun at our children's mass here. So, you know, as we look at that first reading today, you know, what's all this business about with that new name? Why is a new name needed? The Lord talks about no longer are you forsaken or desolate. Does anybody know here? The kids, what's going on here? What is all this desolation, new name business that the Lord's talking about? What's the problem? Anybody? Don't be shy. Well, what the Lord's talking about is sin and brokenness, right? That's what makes us desolate. That's what separates us from Him and breaks us inside. It breaks up our world. That's what the Lord is talking about. There's no way out of sin and brokenness for us on our own. But the Israelites had been trying for many, many years. All kinds of false gods trying to do things on their own. And they got in a lot of trouble. And there was a lot of pain and suffering. So that's what the Lord is talking about. And there's no shortage of that in our world today, either, is there? Right? We see the news, we see there's wars, there's all kinds of things that are going on in our world today. They're very troublesome. So it continues all the way until our day today. And this, the first reading from Isaiah, that's about 1,700 years before Christ. So we're probably talking about 3,700 years or so ago. A long time ago, right? But here we are today. We're still trying to learn lessons from our Lord. That's exactly why we're here, to be nourished and strengthened by Him. Okay, so we have this desolation, this brokenness, all this suffering that's going on. But God's going to step in, right? He steps in with a rescue plan. And He says, no longer are you going to be forsaken. Now you're going to be called My Delight. My Delight. How beautiful. So this is God's plan of redemption. And how does He accomplish that? Kids, any guesses? How's God going to accomplish His plan of redemption? What is He going to do? What are we celebrating today? We have a hand going up. Go ahead. Christmas. Yeah, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. And what are we celebrating on Christmas? Jesus' birth. Yes, yes. So Emmanuel. Oh, look at... See, is he... Bring us Jesus. Yes, very good. Very good. All right, a couple brave young souls to break the ice. Now they're going. Now we might not be able to stop them, right? but yeah, so that's the Lord's rescue plan. Emmanuel, we heard that means in Hebrew, God with us. So He's going to send and God's going to come among us, right? He's not just going to send fireballs from heaven to destroy our enemies or, you know, whatever. No, He's going to come amongst us. And that's amazing. Amazing. But He's not just going to come to kind of hang out with us. You know, like we tend to look at the crib scene and we say, oh, you know, look at this Jesus. Isn't it so cute? And we have the shepherds and, oh, it's so peaceful and wonderful. And it is, but that's not why Jesus came. It's part of a reality when He first was born, right? That He was a helpless little baby. We won't get too much into that today, but that's significant in and of itself. But He didn't come just for that, like for the oohs and the ahs, right? He didn't come when He grows up later in life. He didn't come to be our buddy. He wants to be our friend, but that's not the reason why He came, right? That's not the reason why He came. So we have two names going on for the Lord here. In that prophecy from Isaiah, Emmanuel, God with us. But they don't name Him Emmanuel, right? What do they name Him? Jesus, right? And we heard in that gospel passage, that means God saves, right? He's going to save us from our sins. Literally, it means God saves. He's going to come and save us from our sins. So that's what Jesus is all about, right? That's what ultimately Christmas, we celebrate the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Yes, we were amazed that He became a baby before us, but ultimately, why did He come? To die and to rise again for us. Because remember, just like with the Israelites, there was no way out of this sin and this darkness and this downward spiral. God had to provide a way out. So He comes among us to be intimately present with us. And how beautiful it is. So So yes, he's going to save us from our sins, from the terrible damage that sin brings about in our lives. Ultimately, sin brings death. There wouldn't be any death if we didn't have sin. But we do. And so the Lord comes among us. All right, so now we're getting somewhere. That kind of sets the tone for what we for the season of Christmas. So let's take a few steps back now and focus on that wonderful miracle of Christmas that we're celebrating here, the birth of Jesus. And as I think I mentioned it earlier, I know I wanted to, this is the second most important day of the whole year. Does anybody know what's number one? What's the most important day? Oh, hands go up immediately. Easter, yes, very good, very good. Yes, which is when we celebrate Jesus rising from the dead, right? So that's number one. Number two is Jesus being born. How wonderful it is. But, you know, why is it so important? Why don't we celebrate his birth as opposed to other events in our lives? We've got a couple hands going up there. Say it out loud. Shout it out. Oh, getting shy now. Anybody else? Oh, way back there. Yes. No, in the, right there in the Christmas sweater there. You say that again? Ultimately, yes. Ultimately, yes. He did die for us. That's very good. Very good. Any other guess? Go ahead. Because you forgot? Okay. Go ahead. Yes. Yes, so our sins go away. Good stuff. Anybody else? Okay, way back. Go ahead. He created miracles. Yes. Yes. It's a big deal. The Son of God is born to us. We can see him, right? The grace of God has appeared. That's one of my favorite lines. Grace Shop is back there. My first year here, she was serving. She was back there and I said, look, the grace of God has appeared. That'll be in the Mass this evening. But yeah, so now we can see grace, right? We can see mercy. Before it was never visible. I mean, God did things, but now it's mercy incarnate, right? It's grace incarnate in a person. We can see him. We can look upon him. We can be amazed by him in a brand new way. And ultimately, yes, he's going to go all the way to the cross and to die for us. It's just tremendous. So he became a human being as the first step in this plan of redemption. That it culminates, of course, on the cross and the resurrection, right? But that first step that really helps us to see that, yes, God is with us, right? He's not off somewhere in heaven or in the clouds or somewhere where we can't see him. Some unknown God, no. He's intimately, beautifully present to us. And that's exactly what we're celebrating today. Now, of course, he didn't become a human on the day that he was born. He became a human being 9 months before that, right? And we celebrate on March 25th. Exactly 9 months before December 25th, we celebrate the Annunciation. When the angel came to Mary, and Jesus was made flesh in her womb. In her womb. I'm going a little low here. In her womb. yes. But once he was born, then humanity could know and appreciate and love him in an entirely new way. In an entirely new way. And he could love us in an entirely new way. A helpless little baby loving us. The very Son of God radiating out peace and mercy and grace. How astonishing. And then here's how it all went down. The actual birth of Jesus, right? That's in our gospel passage today. So here's an easy question. Softball one for you kids. Who were Jesus' parents? Go ahead. Right here. Mary and Joseph. Yes, yes, very good. Very good. And there was a bit of a tricky situation that we saw in that gospel passage, right? Does anybody remember what's going on there? Things were a little weird with Mary and Joseph and the Lord. Anybody? Nobody? You don't remember any of the problems they were having? Go ahead. King Herod? Well, he wasn't quite a problem yet. He's going to become a big problem here soon. You fast forward a few weeks. That's a good guess. Good, good. He's looming in the background, but there's some immediate problems here. Oh, of course, Simon. Simon's like, he's like Catholic Encyclopedia, this guy. Go ahead. Yes, yes, and do you remember why he decides to divorce her? Well, yeah, because Mary showed up pregnant, right? And he's like, whoa, what's going on here? So he's a man of the law, he's a just man, he's a righteous man. And so he's wrestling with this, well, what am I supposed to do now? Because I know it's not my child, right? And so what's going on here? So he decides to divorce her quietly. Now, by the Jewish law, he could have exposed her to public shame. I mean, he could have had her stoned to death, as a matter of fact, by Jewish law. But he decides to do something else. Because he's a just man, he's a holy man, because he deeply loves Mary. And then what happens? Then things get even stranger, right? Do you remember how God resolves the situation? Kiddos? Anybody remember what happens? Joseph makes that decision and then? Yes, and yes, excellent, excellent. An angel appears and says, no worries, Joseph. We got this. You know, Mary can save by the Holy Spirit. Don't worry, there's no infidelity going on here or anything. God wants you to be part of this. And so then he takes her into his home and the rest is history. And then Jesus is born probably about 5 or 6 months after this gospel passage that we hear today. We're not sure on the exact timing. So yes, God resolved the problem. One thing I want to point out is notice how Mary and Joseph are so open to God's will. They're both open to God's will. If we look at Luke's account too, that's where we see the angel appears to Mary, the actual Annunciation. This is pretty shocking news that they receive, right? Both of them. They didn't plan on any of this. When they were betrothed, when they agreed to be married to each other, they didn't have any idea that this was going to go on. So they're open to God's will, even amidst these unexpected and inconvenient changes. So listening is very important. And so is obeying. They both listen to the Lord and they obey the Lord where he's calling them, even though he calls them to some pretty tough stuff. So it's not easy to listen to the Lord and then to obey him. Sometimes we might hear him and not want to obey him, right? So listening and obeying, it's not easy, but it's the best way to live. It's what we call the paschal rhythm, dying to ourselves so that we can rise to new life with the Lord. A number of our children have talked about how Jesus came to die for us. Well, we walk in his footsteps, dying to our own will so that we can rise to freedom, to new life with him, cross and resurrection. So that brings about true freedom. And so you don't have to do everything. You can't actually do everything. We can try. But the key is to let the Lord do it. Just to let him do it. He delights in doing it. And that brings us into the peace and joy beyond all understanding. Okay, so let's go back to the first reading very quick here. And so we heard the prophet Isaiah say, for Zion's sake, I will not be silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet until her vindication shines forth like the dawn and her victory like a burning torch. That's so important for us, brothers and sisters. These are astonishing, marvelous realities that are unfolding before us. Talking most especially about the Christmas miracle, but also about the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Everybody needs to know about this. We should be shouting it from the rooftops, brothers and sisters. That's what the Lord's calling us to do. Maybe not literally stand on the roof, but to proclaim the good news. How wonderful it is, how generous our Lord is, how merciful he is, that he truly is Emmanuel, God with us. That's what we're meant to do. How much better would our world be if all of us were doing this? Just this group here. And we'll include the ones over, of course, in the overflow too. Probably 400 of us. Imagine if we just went out and for the next month just proclaim Jesus Christ according to his will. Doesn't mean we're standing on the street corner, you know, beating a Bible, but just proclaim the Lord. We're just confident and unafraid. Imagine the impact that it would have on this community. Then I know a lot of you are traveling, but on your own community. Huge. Remember, Jesus started with 12. He didn't start with a million. He started with 12. Changed the whole world. So he's calling us to do that too, brothers and sisters. So yes, that's where, how different would the world be if so many people truly knew and understood what Jesus has done for them and how much he loves them. We told them, right? If we have touched and told them, how different would it be? But are you embarrassed by Jesus? Are you afraid to admit that you're Christian? There's a lot of pressure in our culture, isn't there, from the world around us to kind of push Jesus aside. This guy that makes us a little uncomfortable, right? He challenges us, tries to take us outside of our comfort zones. That's how he saves us from our sins, right? He wants to separate us from our sins. But guess what? As Pope Benedict once, the 16th once famously said, you weren't made for comfort. You were made for greatness. So our world has comfort, ease, and everything. No, you weren't made for that. You were made for greatness, brothers and sisters. Okay, friends, the Lord joyfully delights in each one of you, and he wants you to flourish. He is your biggest fan and always offers you more and more. Always wants to give you more. He only wants what is good for you, and he wants to amaze you. He wants to amaze you. So be not afraid to welcome him with all of your heart. Just like we see with Mary and Joseph, right? Be unafraid to welcome him. Be not afraid to listen attentively to him and to obey him wherever he may call you. As we all know, peace and joy are so much needed in today's world. And we also know that Jesus is the answer. He's the way, the truth, and the life. We don't have to go looking around under rocks and, you know, distant places. We just have to look right here. He's the answer, brothers and sisters. It's that simple. And he's calling every single one of us to follow him so that we can show many others the way and lead them to the truth and the life, indeed to the glorious freedom of the children of God that every human heart longs for. So a question for you, brothers and sisters. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Out there in the overflow, too. I think you're on this camera. What are you waiting for? Don't obsess over what you see in the news and social media. Think, oh, boy, look at these politicians. I mean, look at these wars. Look at all this horrible stuff. Just throw your hands up in the air, right? No, don't obsess over that kind of stuff. That's what the evil one wants you to do. He wants you to be glued to the news 24/7, and they want you to get all upset, right? That's exactly what the news tries to do. So don't focus on that. Focus on Jesus. Focus on the one who's always offering you more, 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 who's offering you peace and joy, right? Focus on Jesus. Doesn't mean we ignore the problems of the world, but we tackle them in and through him, brothers and sisters. That's what we're made to do. So yes, focus on him and allow him to lead you out to joyfully live the wonderful life he has given you so that you and I can set our community and indeed the whole world ablaze with God's holy fire and love. Merry Christmas, brothers and sisters.